the title of my message today, if you can't beat them, join them. That's not the title of my message. You know, we hear coronavirus this, coronavirus that. The world's falling apart. We're all going to die. Well, many people are panicking because of that. How about you? Are you concerned about the coronavirus? Mackenzie is. Well, your dad will have to assure you with the scriptures, okay? So today, for the message, I'm going to talk about the coronavirus. But not just the coronavirus. I'm going to talk about a set of far more serious viruses that you and I need to be aware of. Because those viruses that could inflict us could cause spiritual death or definitely spiritual sickness. So we're going to run parallel coronavirus and the viruses that you and I have to watch out for. So what do you and I need to be doing to make sure we keep from getting this far more serious virus? One that can kill us spiritually. And I think that's important. You know, what can we do to inoculate ourselves and keep us from getting this virus? For some reason, I'm getting hearing my own voice off of one of these phones. I don't know which one it is. I think it's that one. So I'm going to use, there's so many articles out there, well, I picked one. And so I'm going to use that kind of as a background for the coronavirus explanation. And then we're going to show the other side through Scripture. So I'll be quoting from an article, How to Protect Yourself from the Coronavirus, by Amanda Caprito. And she states the number one thing that we can do to prevent getting the coronavirus is cleanliness. Pretty simple, isn't it? Well, I think we already know that. We already also know that God provides clean and unclean foods. These we can eat and these we can't. And for every indication that, depending on which article you read and whether you believe in conspiracy theories or what, some say it was because of the meat market. And some say it was because of this lab that they have, that they work on all these deadly viruses that was a half a mile away from that meat market. But somehow the virus got out. Well, God tells us don't eat these foods. You know, they trace the strain to bats and snakes. And, you know, that's part of the diet over there. But once the virus got out, of course, it started mutating and going elsewhere. But what about us? What about our prevention of spiritual viruses? In 2 Corinthians 7, in verse 1, we read this, Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And secondarily, we can also read in Colossians 3 and verse 2, where it says, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So you see, our attention spiritually needs to focus on God. Not the physical things of this life, not the coronavirus. But we need to keep ourselves clean. The secondary thing that they say that we should do with the coronavirus is physical isolation from the virus. You know, you look at what's going on in the world and how there's plans being put into place in case basically the whole country becomes quarantined. You know, it's something that we're going to have to look at here. What happens if they say, well, you can't have any public meetings? We hope it doesn't happen, but it could happen. We have to have plans in place for that. Because with the physical virus, physical isolation is a good way to prevent it. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, we read, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them." See, God doesn't want us mingling in the ways of the world. He wants us to be separate, which, you know, we talk about that coming up here with the days of unleavened bread, that we're to be separate, that we're to put sin out of our lives, we're to become pure. It says, "And touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." So what about us? What are we touching that could give us a spiritual virus? You know, it's worth thinking about as we prepare for the Passover. In Exodus 15 and verse 26, here we get a positive reinforcement for the life that we live. Exodus 15 and verse 26, and I'm breaking into a thought here, and said, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of your God, Lord, your God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you." So you see, here we have reassurance. The same reassurance that those Israelites did in the Old Testament. And we'll see more as we read throughout the day. But it requires something from us. And that's what we want to talk about. In 2 Chronicles 7, in verse 13. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13. "When I set up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people." When you look at the world today, look at, we have all three of those at the same time in the world. You know, we have the fires in Australia. We have the locust destroying things in Africa. And now we have this pestilence. But the important thing for you and me is found here in verse 14. "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves," so there's a requirement. And I would hope that we all fit this criteria here, that we're called by the name of God. Continue on, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Well, the same is true for us. We need to make sure, as we examine ourselves, so that we fall in the right category for God. Another thing that we see going on is quarantine. I don't know if they've discussed, you in the school system, have they discussed this in your school?
Preliminary, we've got,
there's
the governor's latest
rules,
preliminary plan,
and
we have to be thankful
for
that happened already.
State Florida does, right? What about you, Obi, at your school? Are they? Well, that's the thing, you know. So basically what it's talking about is quarantine. You know, what are we going to do if there's a case in the schools? Is it overblown? I don't know. But we need to be ready. They need to be ready. I think a lot of this and a lot of the, you're hearing it from the government here, that calm down. There's what, over 50,000 people die of the flu in America each winter, and we're worried about 3,000, almost 4,000 deaths at this point. So, speaking about the coronavirus, quoting back from this article, and if you really want to know what's going on, Dr. Moorcroft, who is quoted in this article, he recommends monitoring the CDC website. I don't know how many of you read in the MMS newsletter. What did Mr. Kubik say? He said, if you want to know what's going on, go to the official site. So it's funny. This was a couple weeks ago, but he said that in his newsletter. It says, where officials regularly post updates on coronavirus happenings. And here's what we have to be careful of ourselves. It's easy to get swept up in the ever-increasing amount of information available online, as well as the fear factor and misinformation from social media, and your best bet is to get your information from the actual health organizations that are investigating the issue firsthand. We all know that. That's pretty simple. Because we see that the politicians are using the coronavirus to try to get you to vote one way or the other. And in other countries, they're hiding facts. You know, is it a serious issue? Obviously, they think it is. But if you read what's coming out of China now, we see we don't really know what the facts are because the government has covered it up. Let's go back to what we need to be doing. It's 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 4. It says, in this case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. How many times do you see articles coming out? Well, you know, we need to watch what we're eating. Do they say that? No, they're not going to bring that up. A few people do, of the religious websites, but everybody else, they want to cover that up. And why? Because God has blinded the minds. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So you see, our focus on our safety needs to be on Christ. But think about this. How can you and I get these spiritual viruses from the world? We can, and it's fairly easy for us to do. That's why we need to check how are we doing in this area. Ephesians 2 in verse 2, we read, Ephesians 2 in verse 2, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. You know, think about your diet before you came into the church. What were you eating? You know, I have to say that I pretty much grew up in the church, so I can't look back on those things that I ate as a child. But how about us? The other foods of the world that we've taken part of before God called us. You see, Satan, and we can use different terms, but Satan, he has different viruses out there, ways that he will try to infect you and try to infect me. Satan broadcasts, you know, this virus, these needs of these viruses that are, so to speak. He broadcasts attitudes of bitterness, envy, jealousy, and the attitude of self-righteousness. And why does he do that? He does these things to get us off track. He wants us to get infected to where we become diseased. Satan sets out to infect the most vulnerable. How vulnerable are you? And I have to ask myself, how vulnerable am I? He's looking for suitable hosts that he can use to spread his viruses. His goal is to infect your mind with the wrong attitudes, thoughts, desires, and feelings. And here's the thing that we have to all watch out for. If he succeeds, his many spiritual viruses will incubate in the mind. And they'll grow. And unless we rid our minds of those, we can become greatly infected. So unless we repent of those thoughts, this will lead to even more carnal attitudes that we may have. But here's also what happens. Sooner or later, these infected hosts will pass this sickness on to whomever it comes into contact with, unless they have a built-up immunity to it. You see, this virus, or these viruses then, can spread from one Christian to the next, infecting the body of Christ and weakening the church. Most of us in this room have been through it. We've seen it live in our past. How people that got infected. We saw it from the very head. Those that were in a previous organization. The head got the virus and passed that virus on to where more than half of the people ended up walking away from what they traditionally believed. So what forms of spiritual viruses should we be watching for? These spiritual viruses come in various forms, and you can probably make your own list. Gossip, backbiting, rumor mongering, accusations against others, and endless debates. These will eventually infect those who are caught up by them. And we can look in Galatians 5. The the works of the flesh, look at that list. Those are all viruses that can affect you and me. But we have to make sure that we guard our minds to prevent ourselves from getting these viruses. Because they can sneak in if we're not careful. You know, some viruses, they can incubate for a day or two. I think the coronavirus, they say, is 10 to 14 days. But spiritual viruses can incubate for weeks, months, or years. You know, you and I need to think about ourselves as we're preparing for the Passover. Do we have any of these viruses in our minds? You know, now's the time to think about that, to seriously contemplate our role. This will help us prepare for the Passover. Because in so many cases, we can't do this all on our own. We need God's help. In 1 Timothy 6, we're going to read verses 3 through 5. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse, disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such quarantine yourself. It says withdraw, but same thing, quarantine yourself from those that are causing that. The Greek word for doting here means to be sick or have a diseased appetite. And you also know that the Apostle Peter warned about our adversary, the devil, walking around like a roaring lion. You see, Satan, he hunts for the easy targets. The spiritually weak, the spiritually sickly, the spiritually weary, and babes in the faith. So how are we to inoculate ourselves? If we want to prevent this, what can you and I do to make sure that we're doing the right thing to prevent these spiritual viruses, which are way more deadly for you and me than the coronavirus is now? We have to remember that a person's immune system is designed to eliminate viruses from the body. But what about us eliminating those spiritual viruses that we may face? How do we go about doing that? In Ephesians 4, verse 20, we're going to read three verses. But that is not the way that you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Quoting once again from this article, on top of the basic illness prevention, Dr. Moorcroft says, the best and only real defense against disease is a strong immune system. A strong immune system. Your body is better able to fight off illnesses when your immune system is really humming, he explains. and everyone should put in an effort to get theirs into tip-top shape. Then he has this advice. To do so, get enough quality sleep at night, stay hydrated, minimize overly processed foods, and get enough micronutrients in your diet. So, that's from the physical side. So how do we fight off these spiritual viruses that can affect us? How do we build a strong immune system? We build our immune system through several methods. The first of which is prayer. You know, these are basic things, and this is a basic message, but it's a reminder for us that if we want to have a strong spiritual immune system, we need to start off with a strong spiritual prayer life. Ephesians 6, if you'll turn to Ephesians 6, we're going to read the passage here. In verse 10, it tells us, we'll start in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Well, how do we be strong in the Lord? And in the strength of His might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Or maybe for the sake of this message, we change schemes to viruses. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. When you think about this, our fight spiritually is with some very strong viruses, or in this case, look at the beings that are involved, trying to infect us, poison us, get us to die spiritually. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. The belt of truth. We have to make sure that we're standing behind the truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Do we have faith that God can take care of us with the coronavirus? You know, we need to have the faith that God will do that. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Key here, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So God wants us to pray for each other. Pray for each other for the sake of people getting sick from the coronavirus. But not only that, pray that for each other that we don't get these spiritual viruses. And also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Are we praying for the work of God? You know, you look at some point, if it keeps going, it's going to affect the economy. How can that affect the Word of God going out? We need to pray that God will provide for the work of God, for the money to be able to continue to preach for beyond today. And also, if you notice the podcasts that are another way to deal with the people in the world, the way to get them to thinking. The second way we build our spiritual immune system is through studying. pretty simple, pretty common, but it still is an effective way for us. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, it says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In James 1 and verse 25, we read, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." By a show of hands, how many of us take vitamins each day? Most of us do. And why do we take those vitamins? What is the purpose of us taking those vitamins? Well, that's the problem. So we take the vitamins to do what? Make up the difference, right? It's a way for us to become healthier. But how many of us, because of our busy schedules, forget to take our spiritual vitamins? You know, do we get that spiritual prayer in? Do we eat the food of the Word of God, the food of God from our studies? Or how easy is it for us, any one of us, every one of us, to forget to take those vitamins each day? Some cases it may be easier for us to forget that than it is to remember to take those physical vitamins. So, if we're forgetting those spiritual vitamins, how can we stay healthy if we're not taking those spiritual supplements each and every day? You know, think about it. The third thing that we do to strengthen our immune system is through fasting. You know, all of these are very common, but when we think about the spiritual viruses that can affect you and me, we have to remember all of them together. In Isaiah 58, if you'll turn there, where it says, "Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. They say, why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist." And I looked up this, what is this wicked fist that's talking about here? And quoting now from Barnes' note, it says, "The idea is plain, that even when fasting, they were guilty of strife and personal combat. Their passions were unsubdued, and they gave vent to them in disgraceful personal encounters. This manifests a most extraordinary state of society and is a most melancholy instance to show how much people may keep up the forms of religion and even be punctual and exact in them when the most violent and unforgiving, ungovernable passions are raging in their bosoms, and when they seem to be unconscious of any discrepancy between their religious service and the unsubdued passions of the soul. And I don't know if anybody here has ever been in one of those types of disagreements in the Church of God. You know, it's not a comfortable thing to be in. But it's something that we have to consider when we're talking with all of our fellow members. Are we showing humility when we're talking to each other? You know, what is our focus? Are we there to win the debate that's unwinnable? I'm not saying that we compromise with what we believe. But so many times, the best thing to do is walk away because they're not going to accomplish anything. I find sometimes we get these phone calls, and I got one this week. And finally, it was obvious that the person wasn't willing to listen to what the Bible was speaking. He had his own opinion. And it didn't matter which scriptures that I quoted, he was going to go back to the same argument. You know, finally I just got off that topic. And thankfully for me, he caught on and, you know, thanked me and said he really likes Beyond Today and hung up. But there was nothing that I could have said at that point to convince him otherwise, even though I was quoting directly from scriptures. And that's the way it is with us. Sometimes it's better just to walk away. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. It's such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself. Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? This is how we need to be reacting. To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the straps of the yoke. To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover him and to not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then, if we do those things, it says, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. You know, there may come a point in the future, we see all these things. People are going to be searching for answers. The answers that you and I have from Scripture. Are we ready to be able to give an answer at that time? In verse 11, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. The fourth area that we strengthen our spiritual immune system is through meditation. In Psalms 119 and verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. When we think about the coronavirus, are we thinking about it from the physical side? Or are we thinking about God's promises? What God will do for mankind? Joshua 1 and verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So how about us? Are we worrying about the coronavirus, or are we meditating on God's way? In Psalms 119, verse 148, it says, "My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." Do we lie in wait? Do we lie awake at night, worrying about getting sick? Or do we lie awake at night, thinking about God's promises? Do we meditate on God's way? I would hope it's the second, because it's a lot more fruitful than just thinking about and meditating on the present and physical. In Colossians 3 and verse 1, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." You know, we read that earlier, but it's still something that we need to consider. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are earth. And Philippians 4 and verse 8. Yes, this tells us exactly what we should be thinking about. Where's our focus? Philippians 4, 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable." Well, when you look at that list, we can throw out most of the news. You know, it's so biased, one direction or the other, or half-truth. So we can't really focus, shouldn't really focus our attention on what we're reading in the news. But we're to think about these things that are true and honorable. It says, "If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So as you meditate, these are the things to meditate on. In 2 Corinthians 10, in verses 3 through 6, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh." You see, that war that we're fighting is a spiritual war. Those viruses that we have to be inoculated from, those are spiritual viruses. "For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." Now, if you'll turn to Psalm 77. Here we see David. You know, the first part, he's wondering where God is here. Psalm 77, verse 1. "I pray to you, Lord God, and I beg you to listen." Have we ever said that prayer? Have we ever wondered whether our prayers were getting up to God? "And at night I tirelessly lift my hands in prayer, refusing comfort. When I think of you, I feel restless and weak. Because of you, Lord God, I can't sleep. I am restless and can't even talk. I think of times gone by, for those years long ago. Each night my mind is flooded with questions. Have you rejected me forever? You see, David here is not in a very positive mood. You know, he wonders where God is. Won't you be kind again? Is this the end of your love and your promises? Have you forgotten how to have pity? Do you refuse to show mercy because of your anger? And look here in verse 10. Look at the way his attitude changes. And when we're feeling down and we're feeling, where is God? We need to consider this prayer, this passage. And these are the things we have to hang on to. Then I said, God Most High, what hurts me most is that you no longer help us with your mighty arm. And then, our Lord, I will remember the things you have done. So in other words, okay, he's changing his perspective here. Your miracles of long ago, I will think about each one of your mighty deeds. Do we think that God is bigger than the coronavirus? Well, I would hope we do. We see ample proof of that. Everything you do is right, and no other God compares to you. You alone work miracles, and you have let nations see your mighty power. With your own arm, you rescued your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The ocean looked at you, God, and it trembled deep down with fear. Water flowed from the clouds. Yes, thunder was heard above it as your arrows of lightning flashed about. Your thunder roared like chariot wheels. The world was made bright by lightning, and all the earth trembled. You walked through the water of the mighty sea, but your footprints were never seen. You guided your people like a flock of sheep, and you chose Moses and Aaron to be their leaders. So in times of weakness, do we meditate on the miracles of God, the miracles that God created, and the miracles He did all the way from Genesis to the present time? Going back to this article, how to protect yourself from the coronavirus. The coronavirus is spread through respiratory vapor, such as when someone sneezes or coughs into the air around you. Influenza viruses and common cold viruses also spread this way. And so then it's Dr. Moorcroft, an osteopathic physician, says this. Simple guidelines, simple things for us from the physical side. Wash your hands with soap or use a hand sanitizer that contains alcohol. How many of you have gone into a restroom and watched how many people go out of that restroom without washing their hands? You know, especially in a restaurant. In a previous business that I had, we provided soap dispensers in the kitchen. Guess where the least amount of soap we use? The kitchen. You know? For whatever reason, in the restaurant business, the kitchen staff in the kitchen didn't use a lot of soap. Second thing, he says, sneeze and cough into tissues or the crook of your elbow. If you get snot or spit on your skin, clean it off right away. Avoid touching your face with unwashed hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick, especially people exhibiting respiratory symptoms and fever. How many of us now, anytime somebody starts coughing, you think, it's a natural thing. Something for us to think about. Stay at home when you're sick. Regularly and thoroughly clean surfaces such as countertops, doorknobs, and with a disinfectant. I mean, I've read where they say that the doorknobs are probably one of the biggest places that you can catch any virus is through doorknobs. You know, these aren't special protections, are they? These aren't special instructions. These are simple instructions that we should be doing all the time anyway. Dr. Moorcroft says that he believes that extra protections like wearing medical masks aren't really necessary at this point unless you have the virus or are being investigated for it. How many of you have seen on TV or the news where they talk about these masks and they show how little good they do because they're not properly fitting? You know, it just makes you feel better, but in reality, it doesn't do a lot of good. So he says, if you're traveling anywhere, you should practice basic hygiene. And that can help keep you from getting sick, no matter where. So what is the bottom line for you and me? We have seen ways to keep us from getting the coronavirus. We have also seen how we can prevent the spiritual viruses that could so easily overcome us without God's intervention. Now here in the final passage, we're going to see the greatest way for us to keep from getting the coronavirus and also the spiritual viruses that could possibly infect us. So if you'll turn to Psalms 91. Psalms 91, what a great place for us to read. Starting in verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. Pinions, those are the outer wings of the bird. You know, birds have those inner feathers, the soft, fluffy ones. But they have the other ones, the ones that shed the water, that help protect anything that is under the wing. And under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. And why? Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge. No evil shall befall you, no plague come near your tent. What comfort is that for each one of us? Verse 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Now in verse 14, we have God talking. He is giving in his own voice to what we have read before, which is written from man's perspective. Verse 14, because he holds fast to me in love, I deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. How well do we know God's name? When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Brethren, what better protection can we have than what we have just read? If we follow that, all that is mentioned in the verses of Psalms 91, we will have nothing to fear, whether from the coronavirus or from the wiles of the devil. You see, Jesus Christ is the great deliverer. He is our protector. He is the doctor we need. We have our part to play. We need to do everything that we can to stay under his protective wings. And that is where our greatest protection is.